has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for June 13th. A couple holidays today real quick. It's National Weed Your Garden Day. That is interesting. Weed Your Garden Day and Sewing Machine Day. Hey, there's me. I hear me coming through. Hey, what? Happy 60th birthday to former WWE Tag Champion, IC Champion, Jacques the Monte Rougeau. And happy birthday to my daughter, Nicole. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join the Rock City Roller Derby as well. If you're interested in the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear. That's F-L-O-U-R. Find them on Facebook. And there we go. I got the cameras up now. And if you're on Facebook Live now, you see a giant head of Danger Boy and two little heads of our co-host today, the Artiste, and of course Furby. I am the Cash Man there. That's everybody who's on the show today. How are you guys doing today? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I can hear you. All right. Morning.
Wow, I was having some real problems. I mean, we're talking last minute up to the last second, major problems I was having getting the show, getting the teams working here. Hopefully it looks okay on Facebook Live. I don't know. I can't tell because I just popped the camera up at the last second. But, hey, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and DC's taking the day off. So next week I will. So it's going to be a real challenge for you guys next week because you're going to be on remote with someone you can't see, and you got to hope everything is going to be going okay. Kind of like I can see it. I'm here. But you're going to have Pam, and of course Pam's much better looking than me, so you'd probably rather see her than me, but that's next week. This week we're going to hear to talk about a lot of things going on. We had a kind of in-your-house pay-per-view. What, it ended at 9:30 last Sunday? That went on, but I think the biggest news, we really got to start talking, and by the way, if you want to participate, 222-1280 is a number, 585 if you're outside the area code. I think the biggest news from this past week came out a couple days ago. Paul Heyman taken off of Raw Creative, taken off of any power of Raw. That's a big deal. I think that's a huge deal because remember, it was Paul Heyman, you're going to be Raw, and Eric Bischoff, you're going to be SmackDown. And look who's left, Bruce Pritchard. They're going to conglomerate the two creative teams under Bruce Pritchard. So it's SmackDown and Raw will be under the same team. Thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I mean, when it happens, the stories that are coming out, is the reason it happened is because Bruce Pritchard can better explain and better sell things to Vince, whereas Paul Heyman was better in tune with the fans. So that tells you who the show is for now. It's not for the fans. It's for Vince McMahon himself. And that's it. And there's no reason to think that, you know, a lot is going to dramatically change, but you're going to see people that were getting some screen time that Vince doesn't really get disappear. And that's going to be sad because a lot of the stuff we are seeing wasn't necessarily the greatest thing ever, but they were getting towards building new people. And that's what Vince said they were going to do at their investors call about a month ago. And it's been, you know, a month, and he's already given up on that when he said it was going to be 18 months till they had it back. So it's annoying. I don't like Bruce Pritchard as a booker. Some of the stuff on SmackDown is okay, but that's because of the people doing it, not necessarily what's going on. So if you like the stuff you're seeing on SmackDown, that's what you're probably going to see a lot of on Raw as well.
I think it's tough because I think just the situation that we're dealing with right now, things may be you know, looked at differently than if there was a crowd. I think if there was crowds involved, we may have a different result. One thing that I did see that McIntyre and the Street Profits would probably still continue to get over, and those were two of Heyman's guys, really, that he was trying to get over. And I see that McMahon is still willing to go with that. But there may be some other guys that just fall off the map. And so it'll be interesting to see how everything proceeds.
I think at this point, I'm kind of open to whatever. I mean, I know Paul Heyman has accomplished so much in the business and he's come up with so many ideas, but I don't think Raw Creative was working, to be honest. And I'm sure his hands were tied with a lot of that stuff. Heyman, Bischoff, Pritchard, whatever. I don't know. I think it's time to start thinking about some new names for the mix altogether. And so that doesn't really mean that Bruce Pritchard is the fix for this, but I'm not super upset about it. I think Heyman's a great mind. Obviously, he'll still be around, and maybe he can still give some input and ideas on it.
Yeah, Heyman did have his things all over certain things. I mean, we may not see people like Austin Theory on Raw anymore, or some of the guys he was trying to bring up. I had heard, and this is only a rumor, do not take it for what I'm saying, but I had heard Lashley was walking off with that title after Backlash, and someone did not want that to happen, and that's what turned into the divisive issue, you know, or one of the divisive issues in which made things change. I would not have a problem. I enjoy Lashley. I enjoy what he's doing. I like the old Impact Lashley, you know, showing up on Raw and just tearing everybody up and then having a mouthpiece for MVP. But, I mean, I guess we're going to find out this weekend. We have a pay-per-view this weekend or a live event, whatever, on the network. I think it's a big deal. I feel terrible because how many times has this happened to Heyman? You know, he's been given the book and then taken it. And, you know, but it seems like it's only a short period every time, you know?
Well, yeah, Paul Heyman is known for his abrasive personality with Vince, and you know, it wasn't a matter of if he was going to get fired or if he was going to be relieved of his duties this way. It was when, and obviously, I guess the thought on a lot of people is it was surprising it actually took this long.
You know what's interesting is if every time you get hired, you know, every time a baseball manager gets hired or a coach gets hired, you know they're always going to get fired at some point. So, I mean, that's kind of like the case in how the working world works, you know. Heyman, you know, I mean, yeah, I didn't think, you know, he was kind of like, I mean, they were using him and Bischoff as like the new, because I think they were getting a lot of feedback from the fans that they felt Creative was terrible. And they were going to go with this angle, you know, trying to run each of the divisions, you know. And as much as they wanted, it seems like there in the last couple of weeks, there's been more crossover people than, you know, we've ever seen. So, you know, I mean, everybody's showing up on every show now. And so it's all, you know, maybe Pritchard was doing more for, you know, longer than we think, you know. But, well, you know, I like Heyman. And when Heyman had his own show, even ECW had peaks and valleys, you know. I mean, it wasn't always great, and I know a lot of people look back and just think nothing but the great things, but yeah, you have like these moments that are great, but there's a long periods in between at times, you know, like Danger, you're definitely, yeah, we've lived through the ECW years.
Oh yeah, ECW definitely had its share of good moments, but there was a lot of people don't remember a lot of the wrestling on ECW was absolutely terrible. There was some good wrestling, you know, when you had Malenko there and you had Benoit and Guerrero, but there was some terrible wrestling that happened as well. They got covered up by the garbage wrestling. So there was definitely – Heyman knows how to find someone's weaknesses and hide them and then exploit their strengths better than almost anyone in the business. And that's hard to do when you don't have a crowd to play off of. So these past couple, you know, months have been very tough for him to be able to hide. I mean, what he's done with Lashley in the past, covering up from what they started with Lashley to what he's doing now in about 6 weeks, has been fantastic.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, I feel like the fact that because we have no fans, this whole situation's getting, I think, kind of feeling over exaggerated. So I kind of feel bad for Heyman in that sense. Again, maybe change isn't bad. Maybe Bruce Pritchard isn't the end-all be-all. But the direction that they have gone with Lashley is finally, I think, the direction where they should have been from the get-go. They're building up building him up as a dominant guy. You know, they got him with the right mouthpiece with the MVP, whole stuff with, you know, Leo Rush and Lana beforehand. It just never really got over. But I think they finally got Lashley in the right spot. So going back to see if maybe he does walk away with the championship, I'd be fine with that. But, you know, I think the situation that we're in with the whole pandemic really is just pushing the fact that maybe they're making a move too quickly. Maybe they waited too long. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
Well, you know,
I think if we get to the point where they're traveling around the country and the world again, I think you got to go back to two separate writers at that point. I think maybe you get by for now with one guy running all of this stuff from Florida with the tapings in the same building and stuff. But once you're back out on the road, I don't know. To me, this is just kind of a temporary situation. And I don't know. Like I said, I would love to start hearing some new names in the mix. I mean, think of all the guys they've had as producers and agents in recent years. How many good wrestling minds there are out there. Well, let's freshen it up at some point and give somebody else a chance. One of these other legends that's around or under contract or sitting at home.
Bring in Gabe Sapolsky. Sorry.
The problem is they don't want wrestling minds. They want writers. And the writers they hire are not wrestling minds. They don't know wrestling at all. They're soap opera writers. And they have one person, Bruce Pritchard, who only sees Vince's vision. So that's what Vince wants right now. He wants his vision played out. So until Vince is gone, we're screwed on any kind of creative changes.
I think we need to get back into a regulars on the road again. And I think Ortiz makes a good point there. And we'll talk about later, actually, about the IC title match last night and crowds involved. But I will say that I think that they should just, you know, it's hard to keep everything in neutral while you can't leave the performance center. You know, it's hard. They're trying to make it as endearing as possible without making major, major changes, but they still have to continue on. But they're losing out. You know how much validity they give to the fans' reactions to people and how much they're missing out on that right now about how they can't evaluate people because they're not getting those fan reactions that they get in live crowd. And they'd listen to the live crowd. And that, I mean, honestly, I've always heard the stories about how, you know, that's like kind of like how Daniel Bryan turned them on him on WrestleMania 30, you know, to make what happened there. So I think that, you know, this business is hurting because of not having people to bounce things off of and see what happens. And, you know, and like I said, we'll get back to that in a little bit. I want to go to the phones right now. We've got Mike from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you guys doing today, Rich?
Well, it was quite the last minute getting everybody on here because we were having some problems with the computers. But besides that, it's going great. Wrestling, it's more of a soap opera away from what's on TV than it is on TV at times, okay?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. The back behind the scenes stuff is way more entertaining than the actual product is in the ring. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, we could use another 12 episodes of Dark Side of the Ring, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But I think what the last guy said prior to you going to me is apropos and true, is that as long as Vince McMahon is there, it doesn't matter what they do, it's going to stink. It's going to be bad because he's the problem. The problem is not Paul Heyman. The problem is not Bruce Pritchard. The problem is not anybody else. It's one person's the problem. It's Vince McMahon. And you bring up the Daniel Bryan and WrestleMania 30. That was probably the last feel-good moment we've really had as WWE wrestling fans. And that was 6 years ago. And even then, the plan, if Daniel Bryan didn't get injured, was he was going to be the one squashed by Brock Lesnar at that SummerSlam, not John Cena. So even then, it was going to get the rug was going to get pulled out from us. Look at Kofi Kingston. He wins the title. It was a great moment at WrestleMania. And then the first time he goes against Brock Lesnar on the first SmackDown on Fox, look what happened there. So it's Vince McMahon's the problem. So as long as Vince is there, nothing's going to change.
Yeah, you do make a good point. And it's like, and I mean, he is getting up there in age, you know. I mean, I got to think that he, you know, maybe he'll want to. They say this is his life. I mean, he doesn't have you know, any hobbies or anything besides working out, you know, so.
Right.
You know.
When you watched him, like the one show that they had where Triple H had the 25-year anniversary on that SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
When he came out.
Yeah, it was
terrible.
That
was very scary. Like, to me, having that person run any company at this point is you're going to have issues, because he that is not the Vince McMahon that grew up as a commentator at Saturday Night's Main Event or was the Mr. McMahon character during the Attitude Era. He's slow. His speech was slurring. It was just not good at all.
You guys agree, don't? I mean, what do you guys think?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you're preaching to the choir, my man.
Yeah. I you guys understand it. I think everybody understands it. I think that's why we're at record low ratings. And obviously the pandemic is bad, and it's hurt wrestling as a whole. It's hurt everything as a whole. I mean, we don't have no basketball, no baseball, no hockey, all that stuff. But the reality is that even if we had crowds, the crowds would be apathetic. And a perfect example is this ridiculous greatest wrestling match ever thing that we're supposed to have tomorrow night. That's how tone deaf he is, because in my opinion, the reason why they're doing that is because that match was going to be initially for Saudi Arabia, but since they can't go to Saudi Arabia, they put that on Backlash. That just shows you like how tone deaf he is that he thinks it's Edge and Randy Orton can have the greatest wrestling match ever.
It makes sense. You know, you make sense because he always put the greatest in front of all those matches over there in Saudi Arabia. So it does make sense.
Yes, the greatest Royal Rumble, the World Cup to determine the best in the world, the World Cup to determine the best tag team in the world.
Yeah, I think you look related to him, you know, like a nephew or something.
No. I've just seen Vince McMahon booking for so long. I just know what he's about. And he's about thinking that it's still the 1980s. He still thinks it's the 1980s, dude.
Yeah, he does. And you know, I mean, and that's why we get some enjoyment out of some other companies, AEW, Impact Wrestling, MLW, NWA, all those other ones. I mean, and it's funny is I actually have been watching some of these other ones, and there's a definitive style difference between some of the booking on other shows and what WWE is doing. And WWE does it kind of like a bigger production. Everything's like done like a bigger production than they could do in the other companies. But I'm enjoying a lot of things I'm seeing in Impact Wrestling. What's going on?
I'm loving everything that I'm watching and everything else actually right now. And I kind of rebuttal on from what I said last week, about don't diss the product, but you know, WWE feels kind of old and doesn't really feel like they've changed much. And it just kind of feels stale, obviously, with the situation that we're in. But I've picked up on all these other different promotions and all the different content that NWA is coming out with. Five different things a week that they're putting out on YouTube. MLW, they've got an anthology series. Impact feels as good as it ever has been right now. And they're without their world champion. So, I mean, the fact that they're able to still produce content on a weekly show with no crowd and still feel relevant and better than most other things that I'm seeing on TV. You know, AEW, obviously, I think is probably number one for, you know, empty arena matches right now. You know, their product on Wednesday night is fantastic. You know, there's just so many different so many different levels of wrestling that you can watch on TV right now that really, unfortunately, it feels like WWE is taking a back burner because of they're not really doing all that great at adapting to the times. And I think maybe this would be a different scenario if we were able to have crowds. Maybe it would have a different feel. But again, it just hurts knowing that the ratings are going down because of one, the pandemic, but two, also because of what we're watching on TV.
And I'll be honest with you, one thing. I've kind of been like a complainer about Raw, about how they're using the same people every week and day in, day out. We're getting, you know, Vega. We're getting, you know, a lot of these people that are, you know, a lot. And the funny thing is those were Heyman people. So maybe I had a problem with Heyman, you know, maybe because I felt they were using the same people and there's a whole handful of people not being used whatsoever. You know, I mean,
yeah, but a lot of people who aren't being used are people that Vince doesn't want used, like Ricochet and Cedric Alexander. Vince still has the final say on who gets on TV.
Yeah, but
exactly.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, and he does, and he also is the last man to check off on what they're doing that night too. So
right,
and you also have to wonder who's available to be on TV as well. So
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, if you want to like see a good wrestling booker, the best wrestling booker in the world is a guy named Ghetto, and New Japan Pro Wrestling is actually starting back up on Monday, June 15th. you'll see, even with empty arena shows, the difference in a wrestling person who knows what he's doing compared to Vince McMahon. Because I will promise you that if you follow New Japan Pro Wrestling, you'll get proper booking, a guy who makes sense, and all that stuff. Because it could be done in 2020. This excuse is that it can't be done. It could be done.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think, you know, I mean, listen, Vince McMahon really was the driving factor of most of our love for wrestling for many, 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 many years.
Absolutely.
You know, I've been more than willing to give him benefit of the doubt for a long time, but, you know, I mean, the thing is can someone come in his position and be as dedicated he is? I doubt it, you know, I doubt any, because, I mean, it's his life, you know, so... I don't know. We'll have to see what goes on. Anything else to talk about, Mike?
I like to see Triple H given a chance. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been given a chance with NXT. I kind of like what he does with NXT, but I think NXT also, you know, as much as we, you know, we still want to say it's on even foot with everybody else because it does have the same amount of network TV time. They're still calling people up and taking people off the show. So, you know, no
way. Right.
I think I heard rumors, you know, the team Evolve is like the feeder now to NXT, and Evolve, because of them being down as long as they are, WWE is going to have to come and buy them out if they want to keep them going. And of course, there's a relationship there. So I wouldn't be surprised.
I saw that too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And like I said, Gabe is a good mind. I would not mind seeing Gabe, you know, get.
Yeah, he would be a good pick. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, listen, we used to joke about him all the time. You know, Gabe was the guy who was selling us programs outside of in Buffalo. But this guy has got the mind. What he did with Ring of Honor in the beginning was absolutely awesome. And I think.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so, hey, we got to go to break, man. Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely. You guys have a great day.
Dave Prazak in that as well. Dave Prazak, who runs Shimmer Wrestling, and almost all of the female superstars you see, aside from homegrown talents, like Charlotte, I mean, most of them came through Shimmer. So, Sapolsky and Prazak, maybe. I like the idea of different names in the mix, and certainly also like this idea of, like, let's give some of these other wrestling companies a chance, because if WWE is not doing it for you, like is the case for a lot of us, there's plenty of other stuff out there. And I think a lot of people talk about the, you know, the recent cuts going to AEW, whether they're already there, whether they're going there in a month, but you're going to also see a bunch of those names obviously show up in Impact as well, which is only going to help that product too.
Yeah, and you'll see what, without Vince McMahon being the guy above them, what they can do, you know? And I mean, then you might be surprised. A lot of guys think that they've had their hands handcuffed for many years, and I mean, we're seeing it already with Moxley. So we're going to go to break on that. We'll be back on the flip side. I want to talk a little bit about last night's Intercontinental title match with the one, I think, five commercial breaks last night, and just talk about, you know, how that match might have benefited by having a crowd. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
To some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
But I have to be honest with you. Right now, at this point, I think you're running on fumes. The greatest wrestling match ever. I don't even think you could pull that off in your prime. Look. We're best friends. And we have to be brutally honest with each other here, right? If you think for one second that you can live up to that, you're lying to yourself.
This is Christian Cage, a.k.a. Captain Charisma. I want all my fans, and I know there's tons of them out there, to know they're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
You know, another classic saying comes to mind. Sometimes it's better to be pissed off than pissed on.
Let's be honest. This is dragging on for me. I got a little expression. Talk less, play more.
Hi, this is the Monster Abyss from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on WHTK. Feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I noticed that they were using these bad phrases this past week. We got to hear two of them right there, you know. Jeff Hardy getting a drug test in the middle of the ring. Absolutely bizarre, especially after they had a great match between Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for the Intercontinental title. Now, I don't absolutely like the new belt. You know, I mean, sure, it might be better than the TNT belt, but it was a great. Listen, you had two great wrestlers, and they were given, you know, whatever it was, 35, 40 minutes of TV time to put on a great match. And they had multiple commercials. I think that's one kind of killed the momentum for me watching it, was this way too many pauses. Two, the crowd would have been eating stuff up at the end of that match the way that they were going, you know. And but it was a good match for TV. I'll give it to that. You know, it was good to see AJ Styles win. I had a feeling he was going to win. Daniel Bryan, I don't know. He's really good at putting people over, and he made them look great. What did you guys think of that match last night? Did you guys enjoy the finals of the Intercontinental title belt?
I really liked it. I think that match is about as good as what you're going to see for an empty arena match. Obviously, the 5 commercial breaks was brutal, but when you're given that much TV time, I think they definitely delivered. You know, it's definitely what you want to see out of the prestigious Intercontinental Championship. You know, they finally made that belt feel important. That build up with, you know, the video package before, you know, they came out to the ring. That is what makes that title feel what it should be. Does it look the same? No. Is the design terrible? Eh. But I think you got two of your best wrestlers of all time, at least within the recent era, Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, showing what that belt means. And I figured Styles was going to win just the fact that because he was put into the tournament. But I think that was about as good as the empty arena matches you're going to see. And there was a lot of good entertainment with that match. It was long, but it was great.
Yes.
I'm just sick of putting these matches on TV during a pay-per-view week, and whether it's Intercontinental belts or the Cruiserweight belts or whatever, like, you've got this pay-per-view or whatever you want to call it. And honestly, the pay-per-view tomorrow, I have never looked at a card and been less impressed and excited for a WWE pay-per-view ever in my entire life. And tomorrow night, I don't care. Like, I would love Styles and Bryan would be the best match tomorrow night. And to give that away on TV just shows how little they care about pay-per-views. It's the same thing, the Drake Maverick stuff with the Cruiserweight belt. Put that on the pay-per-view. What's the point of if you're going to give stuff away on TV during a pay-per-view week? I understand if you've got a long wait till the next pay-per-view or whatever, then totally fine. I mean, you've got to make your TV product good as well. And we're complaining about the TV product, and obviously that was probably the best thing on TV this week, at least in the WWE world. But I don't agree with doing that, because you already gave away your best thing of the week. And now, oh yeah, by the way, there's a pay-per-view Sunday night to, you know, maybe watch it if you want. And I don't know, that the card tomorrow is garbage. There's no other way for me to put it. Hopefully some people are excited about it, but I'm not.
Danger? Oh, Danger, we're not hearing you. Did you mute yourself? There you are.
So I have yet to watch the full match because Hulu has not updated for the day. I usually watch them at like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday because I tend to try to keep myself busy on Fridays. And so I haven't watched the full match, so I don't know exactly how good it is. I agree with Rob. There's no reason to put that on SmackDown when you have a pay-per-view 2 days later, especially a pay-per-view where you're building up the greatest match ever, and it's going to pale in comparison to what we just saw yesterday. For a WWE match,
and it might have something.
And I agree that
it might have something to do with it. Maybe they, you know, they felt that could overshadow, even if it was the curtain jerker. You know,
it could have been on the pre-show to have overshadowed what we're going to see out of Randy Orton and Edge. You know, I like the build up. I like everything they do for that match, but the minute they labeled that as possibly the greatest wrestling match ever, it lost all interest because the last one was not good. They went long for the sake of going long, and it was not a good match, and I don't see this being any better.
Well, honestly, yeah. I look at that whole card for tomorrow, and, like, somebody please tell me a match to be excited about. I don't know if it's, like, the women's tag three-way or, like, Apollo and Andrade, but, like, there's nothing. I don't care. Like, and that's the thing is, like, we talk about, like, the problems with the current product, and I understand, like, maybe there's some people that they're not using right now, but WWE is running shows out of Florida. Almost all of their talent lives in Florida. They have a million people under contract. Yeah, they just got rid of a bunch a month or two ago. But, like, there's got to be ways to figure out better better matches, better booking for a pay-per-view than this. If this is the best they can come up with, then they absolutely need a creative change or two.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with that, too. I mean, look it up and down the card. It really just kind of feels all thrown together. It doesn't, I mean, there's some storyline to it, but nothing, like you're saying, Rob, nothing's really exciting. Nothing really, you know, takes your eyes and looks at it and goes, okay, I really want to see that match. And again, I think they pigeonholed themselves with the Orton Edge match. I mean, I think everyone knew going into it, there's no way this is ever going to be the greatest match ever. And then when they throw that tagline on it, it's like, you're not giving that match ever a chance, even if it does end up being the greatest match ever. Which it won't be. It doesn't even give itself a chance to be the greatest match ever, because now everybody has to live up to that expectation. So it's like they really, you know, shot themselves in the foot in this one. And the fact that it's Edge's only his second match in 9 years, like, really, what are you to expect with that match? And I think it was wrong from the get-go.
You know, one thing we haven't really looked at is what do you guys consider a great match? I mean, is it more like an amateur style, you know, move for move, or is it, you know, is it more of an aggressive big high spots in the match? I mean, what is defined as a greatest match? I mean, Ric Flair, you know, maybe one high spot in a match would go, you know, 40 minutes easily, and he's the one. He actually came out this week and said that the greatest match ever is one he was in. So, you know.
Well, so the problem is you can't have the greatest match ever if you don't have fan reactions. The greatest match ever, it's all subjective. Everyone can have their different takes, but you have to have that crowd reaction to go with it, because you have to build up to the end, and they don't have a crowd. They have NXT trainee plants who are cheering at what they want to cheer and booing at what they want them to boo at. And it's not the same. You can't do it with, you can't have the greatest match ever without a crowd.
Well, and I'm going to piggyback off of that and also say that you can't have the greatest match ever if it's taped. I don't want, like, who's to say that this isn't a match that they end up, you know, I know this isn't really the case, but maybe they spend 2 hours taping it and they put it together as like a highlight package and try to go in post-production and make it the greatest match ever and take out all the botches and everything else. So it doesn't qualify in my mind.
You mean like
you want to make this the greatest match ever between Randy Orton and Edge, the greatest match that you could possibly have? Have Randy Orton drop him with the RKO in 2 seconds and troll us all.
There you go. Yeah. I will say that without a crowd, you know, who tells whether it's the greatest match of all? It's the fans, obviously. So, and Danger, I did want to mention something before we go back to break here. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about had taped a bunch of things in advance on SmackDown. Do you think that big match that was on this past Friday night is the one that they were all talking about being like something that, you know, changed a lot of people's got people excited about the business again and stuff? Is that what they were talking about?
If it's not, I have no idea what they were talking about, because there's nothing that's been on in the last 3 weeks since they taped it that has been anywhere near something that you want to write home about.
Cool. Well, we're going to go to break on that. We got a 222-1280 Star 1280 number if you want to give us a call. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Because I have little to no patience and time for people who run their mouth when they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. All week, Taz has been telling anyone who will listen that Brian Cage is going to beat me at Fyter Fest. Uh-huh. Well, if he was trying to get under my skin, it worked!
Together, moving forward, we could be like a phoenix rising from the ashes. I'll do everything for you. Everything. I'll make your calls. I'll get your matches. You can trust me. And together, we can make the Robert Stone brand bigger than it's ever been. What do you say?
Robert. The chances of me joining the Robert Stone brand are one in a million.
So you're saying there's a chance.
The only way you will take the WWE Championship from me is to pry it from my cold, dead hand.
I'm J.J. Dillon, the original leader of the Four Horsemen, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 12.
He was there someplace. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. J.J. Dillon, the manager of the Four Horsemen, giving us an ID. And there, once again, the champ with another catchphrase or whatever, pulling him out like left and right. But welcome back to the show. Did you guys catch that sound going into the break? I believe it was a Dumb and Dumber reference there. You know, Sean Danger, you're not you're muted again. Did you guys catch that? Maybe you weren't paying attention.
Yeah. Did you catch the Matt Cardona Robert Stone Twitter beef?
Yeah,
last night or this morning too.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Interesting there.
I didn't see the recent one, but I know that they've been kind of going back barbs back and forth since Cardona's girlfriend fired Stone, Robert Stone there. I don't know what else they're going about now, but hopefully it's nothing too serious. But some other stuff we want to talk about. We do have a pay-per-view where we did mention it, and we kind of said how not too thrilling we were. But I do want to mention that we had a historic wrestler pass away this past week. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, passed away. When I first started watching wrestling as a youth in the late 70s, early 80s, Mr. Wrestling 2 was kind of like the go-to good guy of Georgia Championship Wrestling. And I didn't understand this whole number two, but then when we started getting into the Lucha Libre guys and they're number five and number six and number seven, I didn't mind it nearly as much. But he passed away this past Wednesday. But beyond that, and also big news, Bret Hart's going to be on live on Backstage, WWE Backstage this Tuesday night. Bret Hart's going to come on live, so wonder what Bret Hart we're going to get. We're going to get the grumpy Bret Hart? are we going to get, because right before that, they're showing the 1996 Survivor Series pay-per-view, which I think the main event, main event's going to be Shawn Michaels and Psycho Sid. So it's going to end with that match and go right to Bret Hart. I don't know if Bret Hart has much to say. What do you guys think? You excited? Would you go watch that just to catch Bret Hart on Tuesday night at 11 o'clock?
No.
No.
One of my favorite wrestlers ever, but I don't know. He's not the best in terms of interviews and stuff. I mean, maybe sometimes he says things a little out there. I know CM Punk seems disappointed that I guess he's not co-hosting when Bret is on, but meh.
Yeah, well, if you've
I'll be honest. Yeah. I watch so much wrestling that by the time Backstage is on, I kind of forget about the show. So I try to give myself some time off. So I think I've only watched one Backstage episode ever. So I don't think I'll tune in for this one either.
I like it. I mean, the last time Punk was on, he pretty much dominated every time he was on the camera. But it's, they talk real stuff. So it's like you get a feel for just really, some things about people you didn't know about. It's like what we would do if we had interviewed somebody, except for that they have like 6 minutes to pound him with every question possible. But I don't know. Bret Hart's huge in Rochester. We all know this. I mean, Bret Hart was huge in Rochester. Every time he ever came here, fans went nuts. And, much like Hulk Hogan, another guy from back in the days who really was over in this town. And I'm going to watch it. That's the thing. On Tuesday night, you get Impact, and then they have Impact 60, which is like a flashback to what, 20 years ago in Impact, which is really pretty cool. And then you get Backstage. So, I mean, it's another night of wall-to-wall wrestling if you want to watch it. Maybe I'm the only one excited. Okay, I will watch it because Bret Hart was, he's been on the show a few times. I'm not a braggart or anything, but, the times he came on, he was, very friendly and gave us as much time as we needed. And he sent me his book. I don't know if it's autographed or not, but he sent me a copy of his book. And unfortunately, I found a lot of errors in it, but that's okay. That's okay, because I was at some of the shows he's talking about. He was talking, there's a part in it where he talks about, what's his name, winning the WCW title in Syracuse. David Arquette, yeah. So, and he has a lot of things wrong about those couple days because he was also in Rochester the day before. So, but nevertheless, I'm sure it'll be a good interview. Just, I think he seems to have like a gripe that he'll never drop over certain people, you know, and maybe his right to. I don't know. I've seen. But so let's see what else is going on. By the way, guys, how are you guys doing with this COVID-19 thing? You know, are you guys surviving? I was going to ask that in the beginning of the show. I meant to, but I was just having so many problems. You know, I'm back to work at my other job full time. So it's like I'm hoping everybody else is doing okay.
I'm doing all right. Work's a struggle. Being home every day. Obviously, things opening up is going to help. You know, obviously, I'm such a social body that I love being around people. So being secluded to my own back room every day for 8 to 9 hours is very tough on me mentally. I'm dealing with my own issues, but try to get by. So just being here and talking with you guys is one of my highlights of the week. So I appreciate everybody that listens to me.
About you, Rob, Mr. Artiste.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know what's happening with the hockey world. So a lot of life on the career side is just in limbo, doing my best to not focus on a lot of the really stupid people out there right now.
Yes.
The best way I can put it, there's a lot going on in the world right now. And, you know, sometimes wrestling is a little bit of an escape from that, but seen a lot of people's true colors these days too, I guess is the best way to put it. But I'm doing good. And I mean, this is the time when my, you know, off season usually kicks in a little bit, even though off season is usually pretty fake. It's actually kind of real this time. So it's nice to have a little bit of a break after a busy season, to be honest.
Yeah. Rob, I meant to ask you, like, when the world starts going again, is your, the job you used to do going to be filled by somebody else, or is the team like gone or something?
I don't have interest in returning. I'm going to let somebody else take that spot. So I enjoyed my 2 years down there, but, yeah, that was something we kind of talked about, and I just don't know. I'm kind of ready for the next chapter.
Yeah, come up here. We'll find an AHL job for you up here in you know, New York someplace, or someplace you can be. Yep. Yeah, you can be in town, or maybe NHL. You never know.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to go back to Texas. I don't
know. How are you, Danger?
I mean, I've been going to work, never stopped going to the office through the whole thing, so not much of that has changed, but opening things up is a little better and making things a little better. No issues over here. Doing all right.
So, you know, we are now going to be starting this week the lead into the Hall of Famer Bob Matthews 2 hours here on Fox Sports 1280, which is pretty cool. You know, we're going to get some new listeners coming in checking us out. So we're going to have to be our best. You know, I can't wait till we get back in the studio. That's really one thing. I haven't seen you guys physically. I mean, you and I went golfing a couple weeks ago, but I haven't really seen anybody physically, you know, besides the time we did that recording in my house maybe 3 months ago. So it's just, you know, it's nice to be able to see you in the flesh, you know, and especially when it's nice out, you know, it's getting nice outside. And but, you know, I'm going to go back and talk wrestling. I'm trying to think now. So we do have the pay-per-view tonight. And if there's one match you had to pick out of there, let's think about this when we go to break, come back. If there's one match in there you had to pick out, you know, that you think will be more surprising than it looks. We'll talk about that in the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Ladies, look at you two going brand to brand to brand, just like the queen. I mean, good luck keeping up with my stamina.
I am a peaceful man. I gave you an opportunity to walk away a legend. I want to give you one more chance. I want to personally invite you and your son, Dominic, to come to Raw next week. And I hope you come in peace.
Enough, Seth, enough. You know damn well that the reason you're inviting me is only because I'm not medically cleared. But I will be cleared soon. And when I am, not just you, but the whole world will know about it.
this Sunday at Backlash in the greatest wrestling match ever. The redemption of Edge is over.
I must step in this ring because these events must be documented. I am going to mash you into a mofongo and eat you, eat you, eat you. Delete, delete.
This is Matt Hardy, version one, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic, the pro wrestling talk show on 1280 WHTK.
222-1280 starts with his number. What's a mofongo? Okay. Because he's going to mash you into a mofongo. I have no idea. But Matt Hardy kind of was changing characters again midstream, which I thought was pretty funny with Sammy Guevara last week. Mr. Ortiz, what did you think of your buddies, the Butcher and the Blade there, going up against FTR?
This is something I didn't think I was going to say, but I listened to a little bit of Jim Cornette's podcast, which I try not to do, and he praised the match, and we kind of agree. I think it was, he said it was the best tag match in AEW yet. I would say it's in the top two in my mind. I thought it was awesome. I think it's the best that Butcher and Blade have looked in any tag matches in or out of AEW. I think FTR delivered. I think it was solid. It was crisp. It was given time. And I like that. I think it was perfect in terms of making FTR look good. I think it also did a lot for Butcher and Blade, and they were kind of the ones that a lot of the online community were talking about after that match. And so I would love to see more of that going forward. But that was my favorite part of the week. I'll give a runner up to some of the In Your House throwback theme stuff they snuck in with Todd Pettengill and IcoPro and that stuff. I will give props to WWE for that stuff. I enjoyed it. Yeah, that tag match was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to see, you know, the debut of FTR and, you know, the guys that they kind of came in and took off of, you know, I mean, obviously they're building up more of a feud with the Young Bucks and everything. But, yeah, I even forgot to mention that we had the In Your House flashbacks with Pettengill, you know, with a big mullet. Oh, my goodness, when they showed that hair. But, you know, just the 900, what? No 900 numbers anymore. It was good.
Hey, well, chat.
Yeah, there was some funny stuff. I liked it.
Regal is Lord Alfred Hayes with his promotional consideration paid for by the following. All that. Yeah. That stuff was cool. I hope it's one of those things you can't really do too often, but I'd love to see them do either that or something like that, another throwback, down the road.
Yeah, I liked how they had that montage of just all the different In Your Houses, too. I thought that was really, really cool. And it'd be great to do that in front of a crowd, because then you can, you know, and besides jumping off the top of the roof of the house, they could destroy it or something, you know. Or yeah, it was good. I mean, and I didn't mind. I had a good time. It was the In Your House was done. I wasn't really too thrilled with Ciampa's match, but I mean, yes, Karrion Kross got over, but Ciampa.
I didn't really love the backlot brawl, to be honest. I thought that was one of the weaker, if not the weakest part of the entire night, which shouldn't be the case when you've got Adam Cole on the roster. But I mean, the matches themselves were okay. I don't think there's some people have said it was like the best takeover ever, which I don't see how you could possibly think that. But I mean, the show was enjoyable as a whole.
Yeah. What'd you guys think, you know, real quick before, because we're gonna get
back. I actually loved the Ciampa Karrion Kross thing, because you could tell exactly what they're doing with Karrion Kross, and then they went forward with it again on Wednesday, and he's going to be the one that's going to be challenging Adam Cole, and I think he's going to be the one that beats Adam Cole. But if they're going to bring a guy with that much fanfare and stuff like that, putting him over, you know, the heart and soul or whatever of NXT was perfect. And the way it worked out, it builds him up as a monster, and that's where they're going. Ciampa's not going to lose anything because he's Ciampa. So it helped out immensely, and I thought it furthered the storyline. The rest of the show was good. I loved the scene where Johnny Gargano's trying to get back through the door, and they had, like, the Ring doorbell camera showing Keith Lee sneaking up on him from behind. That was awesome. I loved watching that on top of the throwback stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely...
I liked it a lot. It was my first experience with a live In Your House. I've gone back and watched the older ones on the network, but it was quirky. It was cool. I love the vibe of it. I'll agree with Rob there. You know, I did not really like the backlot brawl. I think obviously you could have done a lot more with both those guys. They're fantastic, especially Adam Cole. And I felt like it kind of took a step back, but just to agree with everyone, really, I thought overall the show was very well done. And I think putting over Karrion Kross like that is the next step in making him the next champion there. And I'm just interested to see what happens with Ciampa. I know, and he hasn't really like been hurt by any of these losses, but he really hasn't won any match since coming back from injury. And I feel like Dream too is kind of taking a step back since he came back from his back injury since NXT went live on USA. So seeing those two guys kind of taking a step back in the last few months is kind of interesting to me.
Very cool. Real quick, Matt will surprise you. We got less than a minute. I'm just going to throw out there and say it's going to be the three-way triple threat tag team match. What about you guys?
The women's, yeah, same. Yep. Same for me. Yeah.
I'm going Apollo with Andrade.
Apollo and Andrade. So you don't have to watch it past the second match then, Danger, because yeah, you're going to get it out of the way. So we're going to get it. Thank you so much for listening. Guys, thank you so much for showing up. Artiste, Mr. Furby, Danger Boy, and I am the Cashman. We'll see you next week here on Fox Sports 1280.